Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's in Christian love. This is Wretched Radio, round 3, baby! Ding the bell, we are going to engage again, not because the subject hasn't been covered, but because there are so many tangentiary... I think I just made up a word.
Tangential.
That's that too. But see, there's words that are changing. Okay, I used to think it was ingratitude. Now it's ungratefulness. Where did that come from? Who decides what words are correct? I'll tell you the answer. I do. So these are some tangentiary issues to the subject of masking in America. A subject that we tried to cover probably a couple of weeks ago, dealing with 1 Peter 2, Romans 13. It was my position that unless the government tells us to sin, a la Acts chapter 5, we obey even when we don't like it. Well, lots of people, okay, pretty much everybody who sent an email, disagreed with me, and yet bringing up so many subjects for us to consider, this is a way for us to sharpen our Christian worldview as we look at the complexities of these issues. And so it is, I have your emails with a lot of issues that people are dealing with in different parts of the country because of masks and churches. I think now in California, churches are having, they're being told by the government, you can't worship inside, you got to do it outside. I think I saw a picture of Grace Community Church. They've got one of those big circus tents, you know, built up so that people can worship outside. And people are going, with what, we've got to obey this? When has it become something where we Acts chapter 5 this? These are difficult questions, and different Christians are coming up with different answers. So let me be the definitive source of everything that is correct.
Of course. Sorry.
That's what I'm supposed to be. But
your talk show host.
Does one person have this nailed? So let's work through some of the issues in an effort not to get annoyed with one another. I mean, we don't have to talk about this for me to annoy you. Let's talk about these things to try to figure them out biblically. Perhaps the biggest one that I heard from people responding to my position on the mask business was that the law of the land, the supreme authority in our country, is not the president, Congress, your governor, mayor, etc. It's the Constitution. Therefore, if a politician is mandating something that I do not believe is constitutional, I'm actually sinning if I obey it. Therefore, in order to not sin and participate in this government's sin, I actually need to disobey it. Now, if you think that that's just, well, I don't know who could think such a thing. Apparently, if my email is any indication, a lot of people do. Is that statement correct? That the Constitution is the highest authority in our land? And I'm not sure that this would be one of those questions that if I were before a Senate Judiciary Committee and they said yes or no, I wouldn't answer it. Because the Constitution is the document that guides and protects the rights of citizens and really puts the leash on government. It's far less about how the people are supposed to behave and how the government is supposed to behave. It is the document that enumerates powers. But does that mean that it is the authority? See, I think that word gets us into a little bit of trouble because the reality is a piece of paper isn't my authority. I don't want to make this comparison because I think it's got too many holes, but I'm going to apparently anyway. The Bible, that this book of pages, well, that's not my authority per se. It's what it tells me I can do and what I can't do, And this particular book, it gives authority to people who have authority over me. So God, for starters, pastor, parents, teacher, government. The Constitution, it puts the guardrails on the government's authority, but I don't think that it's quite accurate to say the Constitution itself is the authority. People are the ones that are acting. Now, this is going to sound a little bit silly, and I'm not trying to be trite with this, but I think it's still fair. You're driving down the freeway, and you're doing 85 on Highway 85.
Because I can't do 55.
You can't do it. You are Sammy Hagar. You can't drive 55. And you get pulled over, and the officer says, Mr. Hagar, get a haircut. And you say, well, that's not a part of your authority. But let's get back to the issue at hand. The officer says, you were doing, I clocked you at 85, you're 30 over the limit. And you say, doesn't matter, sir. The Constitution is my authority, not you. And furthermore, I don't believe that the Constitution allows you to contain my speed to a certain level. I do not believe you are behaving constitutionally. Therefore, you have no authority over me because the Constitution is my authority. Now, I know it's not perfect, but I don't think it's entirely ridiculous. And I think once you get up from being tased for saying such a thing, and they cut your hair because Sammy needs one, you will have lost the battle because the Constitution, it does give authority to people. Now, the question is, what if I believe those people aren't doing it right? Because that really is the issue at hand. You don't believe that the powers enumerated to these people include mandating masks or, in this instance, the speed limit of 55. What does that document do? It allows for a checks and balance system so that if somebody is not applying the Constitution correctly, that person can be corrected. How? Well, they can be brought to trial for crimes, misdemeanors. That person can be impeached, and that person most certainly can be voted out. If you and I all go about the business of determining when I believe the Constitution is being abused by a civil authority, number one, you got anarchy. It's total chaos. That you would say, I'm sorry, officer, I don't believe that you have the authority to pull me over. Or I don't believe that the government has the authority to fill in the blank when it comes to running a business. Or when it comes to any sort of social interaction. There's just going to be absolute chaos. Who decides? Do we see in the Constitution anything that says, well, if enough people get annoyed about a situation, then they can overthrow the government or they cannot obey the authorities? It doesn't say that. We have courts for those things. We have polling booths. We have elections for those things. Not an individual's ability to say, no, I'm not going to because I don't believe you as the elected official actually have the authority over me. The Constitution does. You're not in alignment, in my opinion, with the Constitution. Therefore, I can opt out of the system and not obey. That was a big argument that was presented to me. And for the aforementioned reasons, I would like to suggest to you, while I get that, and while many people that sent me emails were very smart and very clever, I think that it's a cleverness that the text just doesn't allow for. We need to remember, because I did hear a little hint of this. You know, when the Bible was written, they didn't have a representative republic. True, but I trust you would agree with me that certainly the Holy Spirit, God, was aware that in the 21st century, there would be a representative republic. And that these words in 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13 would have to apply to our context too, correct? So when we say, well, in the first century, when Peter and Paul were writing this, they just had an emperor and a ruler, and that was the situation, you're just told to obey. But now we have the ability to disobey. Hold it. We don't actually have the ability to disobey. we're told to obey, and the government tells us to obey, and the Constitution tells us to obey. And when it is being applied wrongly, it applies for mechanisms for us to change that. And we are to avail ourselves of those things. And we can. We can question our authorities. It's okay. And by the way, apparently somebody, I guess, took a video from a number of years ago. We were at Clemson, and we were interviewing kids, students, and the police stopped us. And I engaged the police officer and said, can you please tell me what law I'm violating? Otherwise, I don't think you're doing this correctly. And people said, ah, but you want to impose the mask thing. Aha. Well, first of all, I stopped. I did what I was told by the officer. Second of all, I never said that you can't engage the government in question. We have town forums, town hall meetings. You can do that. All you can blog all you want to, respectfully disagree and dissent. But that's radically different than disobeying and saying that person doesn't have authority over me because the Constitution, a piece of paper, supersedes their authority. Yikes. I think it, while clever, is simply not permitted in the text, and practically the anarchy that would ensue just makes that, I think, a misunderstanding of how we should view the Constitution. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate when you listen to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners. We truly appreciate in these strange times your continued generosity. It allows Wretched to be, well, wretched. Please know that you are deeply appreciated. If you're not a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider it? But only consider it if you are truly able. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details on how you can partner with us to help reach the lost. You see, the more you can give, the more we can give away. So if you are able, visit wretched.org/donate and join us in preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. And since I'm in an asking mood, would you please add us to your prayer list? We would be deeply grateful. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks. Basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
We get it. This new normal is, well, not yet normal. So if you're tired of surfing through whatever streaming services you have, then might I suggest checking out The Man Who Split Time. Imagine a man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? And what did he do to deserve such an unprecedented honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is the perfect booklet to give to any skeptic or unbeliever who thinks that Jesus was just a mere mortal. Get your copies now at wretched.org/time and start giving them away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is waiting now at wretched.org/time. It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. themissionball.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Gentlemen, how did I do? Are we going to get nothing but accolade emails rejoicing at that thoughtful presentation on the role of the Constitution in the life of the Christian?
Yes, that's exactly what will happen.
All debate.
Huzzahs.
All debate will cease.
The world will then be a better place.
Working through a complex issue. I agree with you that the representative republic and republic form of government they have, don't remember, we're not a democracy. That's a different thing. We're a representative republic, and it does bring about complexities when it comes to submitting to the government. Aren't we seeing that right now with the mask issue? The governor says this, president says that, the mayor says another thing. It gets tricky. Please note, regarding that particular issue, I've never said definitively, hey, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. The presentation that I was doing about submitting to the government regarding wearing a mask, a la 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13, is a joyful response to commands that are given to me by those in authority, a willingness to rejoice that I now have the ability to obey, which, by the way, is what Peter was talking about. Peter was, when he did the context of 1 Peter chapter 2, he was establishing, you couldn't do this before. Now you can. That's a good thing. Now, that's setting aside, of course, whether it's right to or wrong to, but the whole oomph of what I was trying to present with my understanding of how we should react to the government when they're telling us to do something that gets up your nose, that we joyfully submit unless we're being told to sin, that should just be our face. That should be our trajectory. Our immediate response is, all right, boss, what do you need? I'm on it. And by the way, if you've ever been in any sort of management position, tell me that you don't appreciate an employee like that. When somebody, hey, we got a mess in the back. I'm sorry. Somebody lost their lunch. Hey, on it, boss. Wow. You're like, what affection you have for that person who just gladly obeys you. Now, if that's true for you and me, how much more so God? Remember, he puts that government in place. God, thousands of years ago when he created this place, knew that your government was going to tell you to do something that bothered you. That he knew that your government was going to tell you, right, wrong, or indifferent, to put on a mask. And now, that authority put in place by him, when you respond to that government, you're responding to God who put that government in place. So now the question is my attitude, you got it, boss, I'm on it? Or is it, hold on a second, wait. Masks are not efficient. Masks don't get the job done. I've seen the videos. I've read the studies and the reports. Furthermore, this is America, and you cannot keep your mask laws off of my body, etc. Now, I'm not saying what is right or wrong or indifferent about the mask issue. This is about the Christian attitude to joyfully snap to and obey the government because we're doing it for God. That's the point. And so I need to ask myself the question, when my government tells me to do something, is my face, my trajectory, one of, you got it, boss, because you're submitting to the Lord, or is it to use my American status to try to get out of it? That is a worthy consideration, isn't it? Cripplegate actually did another follow-up article. They've written about this too. Live free, our liberty to obey. Christians choose to submit to governing authorities, but not because we're forced to. Our volition is driven by a deeper motive. You got it, boss. Okay. All right, Nancy Pelosi, you got it, ma'am. Why? Because you're doing it for the Lord and how pleasing to him. when you tell the employee to go clean up the vomit that somebody left in the foyer, and they just go, I'm on it. Hey, I think we've got enough supplies. I'll let you know if we don't. Gotta go clean it up. You are thrilled with that, and so is God. Now, if Nancy Pelosi tells you, now go have an abortion. Sorry, Nancy, not gonna do it, because she's commanding me to sin. It's clear. Now, you say, I think she's actually commanding me to sin regarding mass. Okay, so be it. The point is, what's our trajectory? What is our feeling about submitting? American individual, the Lone Ranger, Marlboro Man sort of attitude, and I'm not saying it's all bad, but in many ways, it can encourage an attitude that isn't biblical. If God has set you free, we are free indeed. For what? To serve him. That's what we're free to do. That's what Peter is after. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. By the way, every human institution, whether you consider that to be the governor, the mayor, the constant, you submit, whichever one it is, and it can be all of them in our society, can't it? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. All right, here's a challenge for you, and it's a challenge for me too. Believe me. The government tells you to put on a mask. My arguments, my debates against it. Am I using it as my license to not do what I'm told? That's the brilliance of the Bible. Doesn't it drill down deeper into you than just dealing with a mask issue? You are free to obey. You couldn't obey before, but now you can. For the first time, you can actually joyfully obey God. And he put that government there to control the society, good, bad, or otherwise. It's better than nothing. And now when we submit to it and do what we're told, even if it's annoying, we can actually do it, because before we couldn't. The pitfalls of freedom. 1 Peter 2:16, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. This is from Cripplegate. The pitfall of freedom is that freedom can, like any other good gift, be abused by Christians who wave the liberty banner in order to hide their sin. The word cover up in the text, it's a word for cloak, a cloth, or a cover. You know, when you got company coming over, what do? We're in a hurry. Just throw a blanket over it so they can't see it. That's what Peter is talking about. Don't use your liberty to cover up what your heart is all about and what you're really thinking. Don't use it as a license to sin. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. 1 Peter 2:16. But living as servants of God. The context, obey your government. Live as servants of God. Because when you obey your government, you're being a servant of God. Because God put the government in place, you're serving God when you obey the government. Not when they tell you to sin, but when they tell you to do something that you don't even like pay your taxes. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus could have come up. I get it. There's a lot of clever folks who have come up with ways to say, hey, we don't have to obey our government in certain circumstances. I think the only biblical circumstances when they're telling us to sin. God has given them the authority to tax. Jesus, when asked about taxes, said, pay it. Now, he could have said, well, see, here's why I don't have to pay that Roman tax. Because this is the nation of Israel, God's covenant people. And Rome has no business being here. Therefore, I do not have to pay my Roman tax. He could have said that. And he would have been right. They had taken over. That is God's chosen land with God's chosen people. But he didn't. What did he say? Pay your taxes to Caesar. Caesar, the worst. Pay it. And he didn't come up with a way to kind of finagle it and say, well, here's the deal. If you're Roman, you should pay those taxes. But if you're Jewish, you just give your temple taxes. That's it. The 22, 23%. That's what you do. We don't pay taxes to Rome because they're an illegal government. They're not welcome here. didn't say that. And neither should we. We are living as servants of God. When we obey out of freedom instead of compulsion, it glorifies God. Quote from Cripplegate, it's like one husband buying an anniversary present for his wife so she doesn't complain, versus another husband buying his wife a present because he gets joy out of planning, choosing, and surprising her with something that makes her happy. Same gift, same activity, different attitude, which makes all the difference in the world. And the same thing is true with our obedience to government. Oh, fine, God put it in place. Ah, they're so annoying and we're overtaxed and the roads are terrible and the education system. We shouldn't even have an education system. Submit. You've got the ability to do it now. And you're doing it for the Lord. Do the right thing, not because you must, but because you can. Not because the man-made rules force you to, but because your relationship with God as his servant leads you to. That is the Christian face toward our government. Not to commit sin, but pretty much everything else. We don't do it because we got to, but because you and I have been empowered to actually do what we couldn't do before. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. A young Christian missionary and pastor died at the hands of a Maoist group in India last week. The group, three armed men and three women, pulled Munshi Dek Thado out of a worship service on his property and executed him. Janie Munshi Thado, his wife, described the circumstances of his death to Morningstar News. She said when the six people came in, they shook hands with him, then took him by his hand, and after a few steps tied his hands at his back with a rope. As they led him away, they said they just want to talk to him and that we need not worry, they'll send him back in a little while. They didn't. His wife said that after a span of just a few minutes, they heard a gunshot. When they ran, they found her husband dead. The Maoists had gone. According to sources at Morningstar News, the villagers had become upset as 18 families had become part of the church and had converted to Christianity. The Maoist did leave a note in his pocket saying he'd been earning money as a police informant. The police told the Christians they didn't know him, and no, he was not an informant. The pastor leaves behind his wife and four children, 6 years of age and under. Praying for our brothers and sisters. California Church filed a federal lawsuit challenging the state's restrictions on houses of worship, including what the suit says is a ban on in-home Bible studies. At issue, prohibitions by Governor Newsom and state officials on in-person religious gatherings in 30 counties, as well as bans on corporate singing statewide. Which personally annoys me to no end. Liberty Council filed the suit on behalf of Harvest Rock Church and an associate organization, Harvest International Ministry, each headquartered in Pasadena. Harvest Rock has several campuses. Harvest Church requires masks, takes temperatures of attendees, requires the proper social distancing, the lawsuit says, and despite that, the state has imposed a total prohibition on religious activities, thus violating its constitutionally protected freedoms of religion, speech, and assembly, the suit alleges. The lawsuit asked the court to overturn the state's restrictions on churches, arguing the governor has imposed an unconscionable and unconstitutional burden on plaintiffs' religious exercise. How about some good news? Fun news, anyway. Denisha Haynes, Ariel Williams, and Ashley Haynes are sisters, and they all gave birth. All on July 3rd at Ohio Health Mansfield Hospital within a 4.5-hour span, according to the Mansfield News Journal. All three sisters had their deliveries induced, and all three were delivered by Dr. Edroy McMillan. Williams was the first. She gave birth to an 8-pound, 2-ounce daughter, Sincere. Ashley Haynes had a 6-pound, 10-ounce son, Adrian. And Denisha Haynes completed the trifecta with daughter, Emery, who weighed in at 4 pounds and 14 ounces. According to an Associated Press story done back in 1998 when three sisters gave birth on the same day, the odds of that happening is about 1 in 50 million. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And if Mass weren't tricky enough, two words, back scenes. This is Wretched Radio. So what if the government says, you, American citizen, or whatever country you're in, you have to take a vaccine for the COVID. You have to. It's against the law to not. What will the Christian do? Probably not far-fetched these days. And this is an example, in my opinion, of what I think is always the first step in determining correct worldview, in determining how do I react to an issue. Step number one must be, I've got to lose my pre-understandings. I got to lose it. I have to lose my thinking about COVID, about Fauci. And he looked marvelous in InStyle magazine. Didn't the epidemiologist look terrific in InStyle magazine? I've got to lose my thinking about misinformation, or I've got to lose my opinion about how deadly this thing is. Got to lose it. That's always step number one. If I'm going to figure out biblically, how do I respond to a particular issue? By the way, that step is going to be reinforced. I am really, really excited about this. Coming up in a couple of weeks, I think, I'm going to be spending a couple of days in studio with Dr. Owen Strand from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, going through steps regarding worldview decisions. How do we figure out all of these complex issues? And step number one, whether I like it or not, is I got to lose my feelings about something. Now, I put them on the shelf for a while because most likely my attitudes toward an issue are going to be my objections later. So, for instance, if I believe that my attitude toward pot, let's use marijuana for a moment. My attitude toward marijuana, I've got all kinds of thoughts about it. And here's a wide range, and maybe you'll find yourself in one of these. Pot, they call it dope for a reason. Have you seen the people who use it? Cheech and Chong. That doesn't help your SAT scores, needless to say. Stoner. Okay, those are some attitudes. You got to lose them. Furthermore, what if you know somebody who benefits from medicinal marijuana? Whatever that is, you know somebody who benefits. Well, so you're thinking this could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've had a good experience. Maybe you've had a bad experience. Whatever, that's all got to go. Now, later, after you've worked through Bible verses, history of the church, etc., the different steps to determining worldview, now you can revisit those things. Hey, what about medicinal marijuana then? After you figured out that the Bible teaches this about pot, now you can bring up your objections later. But in order to get to a biblical understanding without my pre-understandings, I gotta lose them. And the same thing is going to be true with this vaccine business, I think. To demonstrate, imagine you are on a missionary trip. You're going to do one of those medical trips where you bring along doctors. They're going to do medicine. They're going to take care of people's teeth and their grammar and their eye or eyes. I'm having problems with plurals and singulars these days. Not that those types of things matter in the language that we use anymore. But the point is, there you go. And they know, these doctors who are going with, that this place where you are visiting to do some work, polio, big deal. So they bring along polio vaccines, and you queue up the kids because you want to give them an injection of a polio vaccine. And the people start to go, whoa, 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 with the needle. You're not going to put that into my kid's body. And you're going to go, whoa, 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 no, 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 this is for their good. You don't understand. All right, that demonstrates both sides of the issue on vaccines. There are people who are like, whoa, 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 and other people who are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Most likely, you're actually on both sides of the issue. You might have a problem with a COVID vaccine, but you're okay with the polio vaccination. So We have to lose that. We can't cling to those feelings about it. Now we've got to ask ourselves the question, am I sinning if the government says, you've got to take this shot? Now you can work through it. And it's not going to be easy because we don't have all of the information at this moment. Because it might be something as good and harmless as a polio vaccination, which has caused a tremendous amount of good. And we might discover, hey, this is, you know, this COVID business, it's going to be a perennial. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem that these other, like SARS and the H1N1, and they don't seem to be threatening us anymore. But let's just say this one is going to do that, and this vaccine can stave it off. You're going to make a decision now on that? I don't think you can, because you don't know anything about it. Some people are already bringing up, well, what if this thing was formulated because of aborted fetal tissue? That's an issue, isn't it? Yeah. Now, you're probably thinking other things. The government can't mandate that sort of thing. Well, they try pretty hard with a lot of other vaccinations, and they do mandate a lot of other things. But nevertheless, we're going to have to wait and see. Let's see what the details are, and we'll deal with them then. It may be a problem. It may not be a problem. But my encouragement would be, as you go about figuring it out, don't bring your experiences, don't bring your Americanism, don't bring anything but your Bible to the subject. And then you make a decision. Then you can work through your objections. Number of people sending emails to me with a lot of things that they see are problematic about my position to submit to the government when it comes to wearing masks. And some people did say, okay, so what next? We've got to submit to the vaccine business? I didn't say that. Just saying the mask thing, I don't think that's a sin for them to command that. You can disagree. It's okay. But that doesn't, I didn't say anything about vaccines, nor, as many people suggested, I would therefore be okay with obeying the government when they tell me to put my child onto a train to bring him to a concentration camp. Didn't say that. This is not that. This is just this one thing. Each one of these issues needs to be weighed based on its own merit. So more emails were sent, including this one from Chris. Here's one for you on submitting to the government. Did not the Pharisees during Jesus' time have authority over people? So when they told Jesus to stop doing miracles on the Sabbath, he didn't. That's an interesting question. So do we have an example of Jesus disobeying the law? And that's a tricky one. But the answer is, I don't think so. And here's why. The Pharisees were a religious sect. The Bible does not give them authority in religion. That was given to the high priest. The Pharisees were indeed, like the Sadducees, they were, let's just call it, a denomination. Now, Tony, you're Lutheran. Lutheran denomination doesn't have authority over me. Now, they might see me doing something and say, I think you're doing this wrong, but they don't have authority over me. And I think that's a somewhat reasonable comparison. Furthermore, is it Matthew 12 or 13? When we see Jesus engaging with the Pharisees on the subject, they were actually telling him, if you will, close to telling him to sin. Because they were saying, you can't do that kind of work on the Sabbath. And Deuteronomy says the very opposite of that. It actually teaches, no, you can do it. And so the Pharisees were so totally wrong biblically that for Jesus to obey that, that would have been closer to Jesus sinning. And this would be then, I think, an instance, Acts chapter 5, even if you wanted to give the Pharisees the authority to be able to do these things, if they tell you to sin, we do not sin because somebody is an authority over us, because God is the supreme authority. More emails were sent to idea@wretched.org. Dear Mr. Wow. Mr. Friel. Concerning the debate to wear or not to wear a mask, I wonder, how does this affect the weaker brethren? There's another question, isn't it? Would a weaker believer view us to be sinning by not wearing a mask? Got to be careful with that, because the issue is stumbling. It's not annoying. It's not potentially bugging. It's not just disagreeing. It's that I do something with my Christian liberty that actually causes them to override their conscience, and that is sin, because it's never right to override your conscience. That's what it is to make somebody stumble. So nevertheless, does my attitude toward not wearing a mask, does it cause my Christian brother to be offended? I don't want to offend anybody. I'm trying not to offend. Does it compromise my testimony? What does my neighbor think? And whilst you might be quick to want to set that aside, Paul labors on the subject twice in two different books, a lot. The entire chapter of Romans 14 and all of 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, that we don't use our liberty to offend, to cause people to sin, to override their conscience. Love is what God is about, demonstrating love as I go about making decisions. And so as you think about the mask issue, I know there's constitutional stuff, there's laws, which government, all of that to be considered. More than that, we need to consider our brothers and sisters and our Christian testimony, because that's even more important than being, you know, an American. Look at the time. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound. It feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Holding a newborn, playing with a puppy, eating a chocolate cake fresh out of the oven, becoming a gospel partner. These are some of the best feelings in the world, and you can experience one of them right now. Supporting Wretched means helping spread the gospel, equipping the saints, and strengthening the local church. And every penny you give is carefully and gratefully stewarded. If you are not a Wretched gospel partner, would you consider becoming one today? Not only will it keep Wretched on the air, but it'll feel better than a hug from your grandma. Well, pretty close anyway. If you are a gospel partner, please know we are eternally grateful for your faithfulness and your generosity. So please, consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate today. It's that simple. wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. when asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Conundrum Meister. This is Wretched Radio. Lots of tricky questions. Nobody has all the answers. What we seek to do is strip our understanding of any issue. You have a reaction, your knee-jerk response, lose it. And now ask yourself the question, what does the Bible say? Then you can come up with your theological position on a subject. Then you can test it. You can press on that with your objections, which were probably your pre-understandings in the first place. That is how we go about deciding very tricky issues, which we are currently having to deal with, courtesy of masks. The emails were sent to idea@wretched.org. Got to say it again. I have to tell you, overall, just a wonderful demonstration of Christians disagreeing with Christians. Not in the way that we're accustomed to on the internet. It was really polite. It was really friendly. In fact, so many people, they actually said, "I respectfully disagree," as if I deserve any respect. I'm just telling you what I think about the particular issue based on these two Bible verses. But a bending over backwards to be polite. It was such a joy to engage with emails like that. It was such a contrary demonstration to so much of what we see with YouTube responses on so many websites from Christians. So it was just disagree away. It was an absolute delight. Let's see if we can untangle some of these conundrums together, shall we? Hey, Todd, my state has a law, maybe a statute, that it's illegal to wear a face mask in public. What happens if my governor or city council mandates masks? I'll either be breaking the law or disobeying the mandate. Jonathan, it's tricky. It's absolutely tricky. The only thing that I would say definitively is our desire should be to joyfully respond to whatever we think the government in a tricky situation is telling us to do in an effort to obey God and bring glory to Him. And I think different Christians are going to think this stuff through differently. We've got that going on right now in Georgia. The mayor of Atlanta said, everybody's got to wear a mask. The governor of Georgia sued the mayor of Atlanta saying, you've overstepped your, suing her. So she's got a mandate. He's got a lawsuit. What's our position? What's our attitude? Not looking for outs, but looking for ways to joyfully submit to God because we can. We didn't used to be able to do it. We just used to be snarky and angry, not wanting to obey. Now we can because we've been set free. Adam writes, what I'm curious about is the mandate under the Obama administration that employers provide birth control to employees. Should a religiously affiliated organization comply with that mandate? No. Well, wait a second. You just said about the mass. We should try to... this is to sin. That's Acts chapter 5. China, this is from D-A-V-I-N. Davin? Hope I've got that right, sir. China is a government, a Marxist one, and they outlaw home churches and in many cases even owning a non-state-approved Bible. Should they submit to the ruling authorities? No. Because they're commanding them to sin. Now, you got to be clever, I think. You should be wise. I don't think you should flaunt it. God commands us to assemble. We've got to obey that. There can be some extenuating circumstances for a season. That season's getting awfully long now, isn't it? I thought it was just 2 weeks and then flatten. Nevertheless, we've got to assemble. God's word. It's our great heritage and shall be ours forever. So we want to read it. We want to study it. It's like honey to us. And if the government tells us you can't, sorry, we obey God, not men. That's Acts chapter 5. How about this one from Edward? This is an actual law. We Christians should joyfully submit, according to you, to homosexual marriages, I suppose, or abortion. No, but we need to ask the question, joyfully submit. Right now, there is legalized abortion. Have you been burning down the Capitol over it? No, of course you don't, because you're not given permission to do that. We're not zealots. We're not anarchists. We're Christians. We obey the law. Now, the same thing is true with homosexual marriage. Do we like that? No. Are we obeying that? Well, we're living with it, like we live with a lot of laws that we don't like or that we think are absolutely immoral. Now, if the government, Edward, said, you've got to get an abortion or you got to marry a dude, not going to do it. Because they're commanding us to sin. Acts chapter 5 is our caveat. All right, here comes some more. Whew, these are getting trickier. You mentioned that wearing masks should be done because the government has the right. What about shutting down businesses when it's the only way for them to make a living and feed their kids? Well, that's rough, isn't it? The sad reality is, I'm not sure that you have a choice besides going to jail at that point. And then you'd have to ask yourself the question, do I need to get a different job just to support my family? And as foreign as that feels to us in the West, don't be surprised if it happens. Don't be surprised. The way that the conversations are happening, unless something dramatic happens in our country, unless there is some sort of, there needs to be either a great revival of God, that's the ideal, or some secular leaders who have the ability to sway, and then you've got decades of damage that needs to be undone with the education of the kids in the schools. Short of those things happening, I think that we Christians need to start adjusting. We might not like what our government does to us in the future. And it might cause us to not have the freedoms and liberties that have been afforded to us in the past by the Constitution. Now, we can complain about it. We can use whatever legal means God has afforded to us through the Constitution or through any statutes. But we're obeying people. Besides, they will shut you down. I remember when the Supreme Court decided on Obergefell, and the pastors were asked, what do you think about this? What are the implications of this? And one pastor said something that I just heard the brakes in my brain go, what? His response was, wish I could remember who it was. His response was, get used to your pastor being in prison. Huh? Get used to it. That was normative. Remember the book of Acts? Remember Peter? Remember Paul? Remember the church praying for the release of Peter? Who's there? Peter. No, it can't be. He's in jail. Remember that almost comic scene in the book of Acts? Get used to it. Paul was in jail regularly. Christians throughout the ages have been in prison. And we might be looking at that too. I think that we need to be preparing ourselves for those things. Shouldn't we be anyway? Not to say that we don't try to do things to stave that off and make that better, but we're not anarchists, that's for sure. This was sent in, wow, Brian, a lot of scenarios. Where is the glory in submitting to arbitrary laws? Here are some examples. I'm in China, and I've just received a one child over the legal limit. The government says I must abort, and I'm a Christian. Is God glorified in my submitting or resisting? Okay, there's two issues there. No, you're not going to get an abortion, period. You're going to have to do something. And they might do bad things to you, but you cannot abort your own child. What about the one-child policy? That's a little bit different, isn't it? If the government doesn't allow you to have more kids, I don't know how you can get around that law without recognizing there's going to be a punishment or a penalty for it, which might mean they're going to take away the parents, and then your one child won't have any parents at all. Is this pleasant? No. Did Jesus warn this type of stuff is going to happen? Yeah. Please note, I don't have the answers to all of these things. I'm a business owner in California. The government decides I have to shut down indefinitely because I've been deemed non-essential, thus interrupting my means of providing for myself and my family. Again, I don't know that you would have an option. And because you are tasked to provide for your family, you might have to give up your liberty of owning a business so that you can put food on the table. Number three, police departments are being defunded and dangerous. Lawless mobs are being allowed to wreak havoc in my city. I can't move. I'm thinking of carrying a gun for my own protection, although I don't have one and I can't get a permit to do so. If it gets to that sort of dangerous point, I think that protecting your family, you're mandated to do, it would have to be pretty much the wild, wild west, though. But I think I think Vodi Baca might disagree with me, but I think it actually could get to the time in a culture where it's so dangerous that as a father who is tasked to protect his wife and children, that you would have to do that even if they say you can't do that. I think I can imagine that. I don't think Vody could. We'll have to ask him next time. The government tells me I must address males with gender dysphoria as females and vice versa. I think that's going to be a conscience issue. Some are going to be able to do it. Some won't be able to do it. We need to be ready for the consequences. The government declares homeschooling illegal. Question, would the government be telling me to sin? No, so I guess it's illegal. And we submit, wouldn't we? I mean, is it a sin for the government to not allow homeschool? Now, if they said, you must make your kids stupid and indoctrinate them with atheistic thinking, sorry, can't obey that. The government says I must build transgender bathrooms at my seminary and admit female and LGBT seminarians. Well, does God permit that affirmation of sinning and to train up somebody who is confused about who they actually are to be a pastor? No, so you wouldn't have to obey that. Acts chapter 5 is our exception. The rule is, even when it's hard and unpleasant, we submit. Glad we got that all cleared up. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.